What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. This is the Sports Ethos Grizzlies Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Williams. Along with me, the whole crew, Candace and Isaac and David, all here. We are knocking out a doubleheader. The Memphis Grizzlies go into Houston and take care of business. And then on the second game of a back-to-back, they drop a deuce. They beat the Rockets 129-122. And then get throttled by the Mavericks 137-96. So let's start with the good stuff, guys. Let's start with the Rockets game. And let's talk about all the good things that happened there so then we can unload everything that we have to say whenever we get to that Mavericks game. Isaac, go ahead, man. Let's go, biggest positive. You see Ja Morant, massive game, 49 points, 17 for 26 from the field. 5 for 6 from 3, 10 of 13 from the free throw line, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 block shots, a steal, just stat stuff.
Yeah, man, just did it all in that game. I think the biggest positive for me was the fight, because, I mean, they were on the ropes in that game. I mean, the first half, they didn't play well at all. I mean, Houston was kind of earlier in the game, the defense looked great. I commented on Twitter. I was like, the team defense looks great, but somewhere in there, man, they kind of lost containing the Rockets just running on them, man, getting open threes. Just felt like they were knocking out everything, man. Jalen Green got loose in that game and was really having a big game. But somewhere a switch flipped, man, and it wasn't just Ja Morant. Ja Morant was good in the first half, but he took over the second half. But the entire team, man, they just started knocking down shots. And, I mean, a lot of guys played well in this game. Laravia with 12 points off the bench. Tyus with 11 points. Roddy with 8 points. BC checked in at 4 points. Was at 9 rebounds. 2 assists, a block. Steven Adams, 6 points, 9 rebounds. Aldama, and one thing I've been impressed with Aldama is we knew the offensive potential was there, but what I've been super impressed about with him is the defense and rebounding. Like, I didn't expect that, and I think that kind of unlocks something completely different, even more so than I thought. Because when Jaren comes back, man, I've kind of felt like they needed another big. Even going back to last year, they could use another big off the bench. And with Aldama rebounding and playing defense, man, he can really be that guy. Because you talked about him doing that and also being a guy that can stretch the floor. I mean, he's going to be a more than just a role player. I think he's going to be a plus role player and a big part of this team. And it's just crazy to see a guy flip a switch like that. Because, I mean, we're talking about going back to Utah. This guy still looked like it was his first time on the NBA basketball court. Even at summer league level, he was looking deer in headlights, man. And he's just done a complete 180, just a completely different player, and I think ready to compete, and I think confident in everything that he's doing, and I just didn't expect what I was seeing on the defensive end and the rebounding, so I think that's big time. But again, man, this team continued to fight, and Ja Morant just went otherworldly in this game, man, just doing it all, 49 points. Guy has 49 points, still got 8 assists. Just super efficient, 17 and 26. Another thing, man, he's really, really been knocking down his free throws. There's been times in the past where he's kind of struggled there, been super streaky, but he's been knocking those down in the three-point shooting from him. 5 of 6 in this game, 5 of 6 from three, and he's shooting the ball with confidence. There are times in the past where he'd be wide open and he'd kind of hesitate and think, should I really take this shot now? He's just let that NBA fly, as they say, and I mean, you just love to see it, and he's just on another level right now, man. Just a big-time game. Hey, he didn't get that 50 piece, that last inbound. I was like, man, get it to Ja, because I know they're going to foul him. And they got it in to Desmond Bane, man. But can't knock it, man. 49 points, man. Just an awesome night for Ja. I just like the fight that they had to not give up in this game when they were down double digits and to come back and win it going away.
Yeah, I would say, you know, in my mind, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but I saw a lot of the same overarching themes and issues that got them, you know, whooped in that Dallas game that I saw in the Houston game. But the difference was just Ja was able to put on that Superman cape, and he just went in. Like, he just refused to let this team lose his game. Like you said, super efficient. He was just putting his team in position to win. And he had the opportunity to get 50 points. If he wanted 50 points, he could have easily got there, but he just showing the kind of guy he is. You know, he passing it up, you know, double team when he wasn't trying to force anything. Want to make sure he makes the right play, so he passed to a teammate. He could have been fouled at the free throw line, but he passed before they could foul him. And I just don't think I don't think he wanted that to be a storyline. At the end of the day, I think he just wanted it to be about getting the win and trying to, maybe some of his logic was conserving as much injury as possible at that point for the next game. So just respect to Ja and everything that he's continuing to do for this team, The depth is not is thin right now, just through injury and through roster construction to some extent. But he is just determined that, you know, he's going to put the team on his back, and that's exactly what he did. I will give a shout out to Conchar in this Houston game. He also did well. He had 6 3-point attempts. He was 3 of 6 from three. He had 17 points, but he had quite a bit of help from Conchar. That was much needed help. And he was able to sort of contribute in that way. You want to see, I mean, that's that we're talking about. Would he be able to shoot at a good volume? Would he be, would he really even take the attempts is what my question is. So the answer is that, you know, he will take the attempts. He's not always going to make them, but he is filling in, I think, nicely in his role and sort of just being some of the depth that this team needs right now.
And another real quick point on Ja this year, man, a guy that scored 49 points. No selfishness. Like, you don't walk away from that game at all thinking, oh, man, that was a selfish. He's taking a lot of shots, man. 17 to 26 and still had 8 assists. I mean, he's doing this within the team concept and efficiently. And I know that's crazy to say for a guy to have 49 points, but this wasn't just about a guy just passing up his teammates and just taking a lot of shots. I mean, he's doing both. I mean, he scored 49 points and getting his teammates involved and doing it efficiently. So, man, it was just really awesome to see, man. It's, again, man, sky's the limit with him, man. I don't put any ceiling on him, man. It was just a crazy, crazy performance, and I definitely don't think that's the last one we're going to see this season like that by any stretch.
Yeah, it's – to me, the biggest concern for this team right now is – well, there's a couple. Defense would be my number one concern. They are 29th in the league in defensive rating at 120.1. And then you look at their offensive rating, they're pretty far down there as well. They're around 17th, I think, 17th or 18th in the offensive rating. So, you know, 109.3, they're 17th exactly. There are struggles. This team is not healthy. Desmond Bane is struggling. He's not shooting the ball well. He's still doing stuff to contribute to winning, but he just does not look like himself. I'm not in panic mode. I know that Shooters goes through slump. I believe that he will come out of it. But Ja Morant cannot be Superman every single night. Not through 82 games. It's not going to happen. You run up against the Dallas team who has a great defensive scheme set up to go against him, and you watched him. You know, he got 20 points. He had 20 points. He got to the free throw line 8 times. He only had 4 assists. But they done a good job slowing him down. They were running almost – you see defenses make a wall whenever they're playing against Giannis to try and keep him from getting downhill. And that's almost what you saw from Dallas in this game. And I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between the games. But I'm not surprised that they got beat by Dallas, because I think this was their the first real test. They're supposed to beat the next team. Even though they're shorthanded, they're supposed to be the Young Rockets team. Even though they're shorthanded, they're the better team. But I hate the way that this Mavericks, the way that this game went down. Dallas is not 41 points better than Memphis. You're playing second night of a back to back, and it was like the third game in 4 nights. The Grizzlies look tired, and I'm not a huge fan of making excuses. The Mavericks just kicked their ass. They're like, bottom line, that's what happened. The Mavericks had a game plan. They went out, they executed it, but it didn't seem like anything at all went right for the Grizzlies in this game. Some of that was execution from the Mavericks, and some of it was self-inflicted.
Yeah, I think with this game, like, I kind of saw this coming from a mile away. I was talking to somebody earlier that day. It's like, man, I don't like this spot at all, man. I got a feeling that they're going to get rail tonight. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's just a bad spot. You got Dallas, who's been off. They hadn't played since Wednesday. And this game was on Saturday night. The Grizzlies obviously played the Rockets the night before. Had to travel there. You got Dallas rested. This was Dallas' first home game. It was their second game of the season. They lost their opener at Phoenix.
Hadn't
played since Wednesday. Yeah, just they were ready for this game. Their fans were ready, and I felt this was a bad spot. Man, the Grizzlies are already shorthanded, and this would have been a tough game even fully healthy. So I was like, man, this is a tough spot, man. I know we beat the Knicks, like you said, supposed to beat that team, beat the Rockets, supposed to beat that team. But I think this Mavericks game, as you guys kind of foreshadowed, kind of uncovered some of the holes that even in that Knicks game and the Rockets game you saw. But those games, even though they won those games, there were some things in those games that you could see if they were playing a better level of competition that they would have gotten exposed and they got away with them in those games. Just like being down early against the Rockets, double digits, that Knicks game, having to go to overtime against that team. And I know you guys are more positive about that Knicks team than I am. I just think that team, the Knicks pretty much being fully healthy, the Grizzlies down, they still have to go to overtime. I'm not as sold on that Knicks team, I think, as you guys are. But it's this game right here, I think, showed some of the holes. A lot of it had to do with the Grizzlies being tired and everything, like you said, a bad spot. But some of the things that the Grizzlies, I think, were shooting a lot better than I even expected, even against two less opponents. And I think they didn't shoot the ball well against the Knicks, obviously. I mean, against the Mavericks, obviously. And that's something that I'm concerned about. I just don't – in the end, I don't think this team ends up being a really good three-point shooting team. I know people were kind of happy to – I like what I saw in the first two games, and people were kind of declaring, oh, well, this team is going to shoot basketball. And I think there will be nights where they shoot the basketball well, but when you're depending on guys like LaRavia and Roddy to shoot the basketball well, there are going to be some nights where those young guys, they come in and they're knocking down shots, and some nights they're really going to struggle. And we kind of saw that in the game. It's going to be ebbs and flows, especially with that bench. And as you said, Ja can't be Superman and carry this team every night. I mean, you're going up against another guy, Luka, who can do the same type of things. And that's what we saw, man. Just a lot of Luka. They started off with Roddy on Luka, and that was a mess. I mean, he ended up minus 36, and that's not a knock on him. I mean, a lot of guys, even if you're going to get Dylan Brooks, Luka is going to get his. I mean, you're not going to shut him down. But it was just a tough night, man, and I kind of saw that coming. And again, man, I think that's kind of why I predicted 6-4 through the first 10, because I knew that there was going to be some issues. I mean, you're missing Jaren, and then you find out that Dylan Brooks is not going to play. Zaire Williams is not going to play. That's a lot of defense that you're missing. And when you play against these really good teams, it's going to be tough. Every game's not going to go like the Knicks and Rockets game, because when you go against these really good teams, they're going to expose those guys not being out, man. It's going to be hard to beat a team like that, even fully healthy. I mean, they're going to give you a battle, but you're down three of your best defenders. I mean, that's just going to be a tough night, and that's what we saw, man. Just couldn't get stops in the game, and going against Dallas, man, they'll run you out of the building, man. They have a good game plan for the Grizzlies anyway. We've seen that over the last few years. This has just been a tough matchup. They do a really good job on Ja and blitzing him, and they know how to kind of slow the game down, man, and get a Grizzlies problems. And that's just what we saw. And being shorthanded, man, made it even worse, man. They end up going down by, was that 40, 41 points?
Yep. 42, 40. Well, the biggest thing was 42. But yeah, that's what they ended up going down by. Yeah, like you talked about, some of the issues with the shooting, particularly with the second unit, I think we're clearing. Everybody on the second unit still ended up being in the negative, even in that Houston game, with the exception of David Roddy, who was a net neutral. Everybody else is pretty much a negative, you know, even when they won or lost, because shooting is a problem. As soon as Ja Morant goes off the court, nobody can make a shot. And they are getting absolutely run out on that second unit. That was an issue. It's been an issue for every game. But there are some games where Ja can come in and he can make up for it and he can be the eraser. But that just can't happen every night, like you said. And then the other thing is the rebounding is struggle. And so with 17 points, the rebound, they get now rebounded often. I mean, they barely
29 or 52.
Yeah, they got killed in Dallas on the rebound. And then even the Rockets, I think they did get 33 rebounds compared to the Houston Rockets, 32. But, I mean, rebounding is really important to this team. So you really don't even want it to be that close of a margin. And I know the Grizzlies are going to have to find a new way to win. I don't expect them. You know, last year, rebounding, second chance points was their number one way of getting offense. I think they're trying to move away from that anyway, so there's going to be a little – I expected a drop-off to some extent, but it's got to be better than this. They got to have a plan for that, especially because they aren't. I mean, the goal was to get increased shooting, so they have to be dependent as much on those second chance points. And I like the philosophy, and I like the theory behind that. But the execution of that is not looking well. And it's another thing that I noticed that I talked about a little bit. Well, I can't remember if I talked about this on social media or not. But Steven Adams has seemed to get a lot of turnovers because a two-man game between Steven Adams and Desmond Bane. They used to work so well last season. Teams seem to have keyed in on that. They are stopping that. And now those are just becoming turnovers on Steven Adams' part. They've got to figure out something else. Something else, I think, is using Aldama. He's got some great ball skills. He ran point guard for the hustle. I think using that secondary playmaking is something that'd be better, because if nothing else, he can maybe make a better pass than Steven Adams can. And Steven Adams can, you know, he's adequate. But if the teams are looking for that and they're looking to defend that, it's early. But, you know, I have a concern that that won't get fixed. And this team isn't in a position to be turning over the ball at all. Like, they can't just have unnecessary turnovers. And that's gotten them in a few tough situations, especially because it seems like that type of thing happens when they start to get a little momentum going, and then there'd be a bad pass or a bad exchange. Particularly Steven Adams just seemed to be, I'm not beating on him at all, but he just, that seems to be kind of what happens, and then they sort of lose momentum a little bit. And so those are just some things I noticed. I think I'm not, it's still early in the season. I expected the defense to be lacking. Jaren was a huge part of everything they wanted to do. So yes, I think long term that'll be okay. But this shooting, I mean, nobody's really knowing if Jaren's gonna come back and be able to provide that extra shooting. Dylan is inefficient. So even with the guys in Zaire, maybe end up being one of the more reliable of the three at a lower volume. But you got to get some reliable shooting from the outside. And those rookies, like you said, are going to be inconsistent. You really need Dez and Bane to be himself. Some people are a little panicked. I'm not panicked. I'm a little concerned, mostly because he's never been struggled this much from the field and from three. Like, generally, if he's struggling from three, he's still efficient from the field. And he's missing bunnies, so my hope is he'll just, you know, get it right. But, I mean, he's under 30% for the year in both field goal and three-point shooting, and that's not normal. Even through three games, even in his slumps, it's not been that bad. So there is some cause for concern. I don't really know. I can't pinpoint it, man. I can't put my finger on what it could be. But, you know, maybe it's one of the things where as he gets back in the season, it'll be okay. But it's unfortunate because the timing is where they need him kind of the most, and he's not been able to give them too much. Now, he did show some flashes against the Dallas game in the second half. We saw a little bit that he was able to kind of get some mojo going, a little bit of the Desmond Bane that we know. But hopefully that he shakes out of that soon, because this team needs him.
When Jaren comes back, I think it'll help some of the Steven Adams stuff. But Zaire, they need Zaire, I think, desperately right now. I think that second unit is really missing him, and they need him to take that step. I think especially shooting, we talk about the shooting, man, they're going to need that from him. He's a big, big-time piece to this team and what they need to kind of reach their ceiling and kind of help make up for kind of losing those guys like Kyle Anderson and Anthony Melton. They need Zaire. They got to step up on the defensive end and the shooting and defensive end to kind of fill in, because that second unit needs some help. Like, I knew that second unit was going to be an issue from time to time. Again, they're going to be nice where they look good, and they're going to be nice where they struggle, but they need other guys to make shots and so forth through three games. I mean, there have been times where guys have made shots, but there's no consistency to it, and that's going to be something that they're going to have to do to be successful, especially against better teams.
During the regular season last year, the Grizzlies were super, like, they – more often than not, they outpaced their opponent, and that hasn't been the case so far this year. They were outpaced by the Knicks, they outpaced the Rockets, and then the Mavericks just destroyed them. Is that any concern for you? Do you think that is just a you know, something that's coming up because of the injuries, or do you think it's something else?
I mean, I think it's a mix of things. I do definitely think kind of. You they're dealing with a lot of stuff right now. I mean, again, you're missing Jaren. You're trying to work rookies in. These guys, it's their first taste of real NBA action, so they're trying to get acclimated. It's just, and again, man, I hate to keep harping on that, but that was just kind of my thing going into the season, why I felt like they wouldn't win as many games. I just feel like there's a lot of stuff that they got to work through and try to figure out, and it makes it even tougher when you have injuries, because then there's going to be another adjustment period once you get healthy. And I definitely think that plays a big part in it, because again, you have a couple guys in the rotation that are playing significant minutes right now that they're not used to this system. They haven't done this. You had guys that were cohesive and had done this for a while, and they're just still trying to find their way. So, I mean, this is not a easy situation. I mean, I guess being 2-1 right now is not bad at all. I mean, you don't want to go down 137 to 96, but with everything that they're working through, I'm not really even looking at those numbers and stuff right now because I know that's going to be off. I know there's going to be things like the rebound, and that's not Grizzlies basketball. I know they're trying to get away from that and add more shooting, but we've talked about that before, and that was kind of the emphasis in the draft, but I'm not sure if they adequately done that kind of the way that Zach Lyman said they wanted to. So I don't know if they can go as far that direction as they want to, because I still don't know if they have the personnel to kind of get away from that. I still think when you get, if you have Steven Adams, I think you kind of need to create those second chance points by offensive rebound stuff. I still think they need some more of that. Maybe not as much as they had in the past, because I think they kind of feel like this is a better shooting team. I'm not so sure yet, but we'll see. But again, on as far as the pace, I just think there's so much other stuff going on right now, man, that you're going to see when you look at those numbers, they're going to be skewed right now. I just don't think you're going to see a lot of some of the same things we saw last year. Maybe as the season matures and goes on, they'll kind of get back to some of those things. But right now, they're just trying to navigate this easy schedule, man. They just need to find ways to get games out, to win games, however that is.
So do you think that they the guys that they lost on this team were not great shooters? Melton would have streaky moments. Do you feel like they went backwards in shooting, or do you feel like there's just no improvement?
Well, can I answer the question about the
You can answer both of them. You can answer the first one and then take off with that one.
Okay, so I think the pace is probably going to be something that you see as a theme, just because I think this team is going to learn how to play differently. I think that was the MO of the front office, and so this team is not as athletic as it was last year. They have bigger guys, slightly taller than Kyle Anderson or bigger, you know, in build than, you know, with D'Anthony Melton, obviously, and the rookies in LaRavia and Roddy that they're playing. They went for more physicality and size, which makes sense in terms of half-court offense, playoffs, and sort of them needing a little bit more physicality than that Timberwolves series especially. So I think that's something that they're choosing to sacrifice. Now, Zaire will come in, and he's probably one of the few athletic guys you got left, because John Conchar was never going to have the athleticism of D'Anthony Melton. So you just dropped off in several areas. And so I think that will continue to be a thing. I'm okay with that. They can learn how to overcompensate with, it's a good transition into the shooting. I think they are, personally, I think they are better in shooting, but we may not see the dividends of that to maybe the second half of the season, is my guess. I think it's going to be rough. These rookies are going to be inconsistent. I think Zaire is going to take a step forward in that regard. It looks like Conchar is still going to be iffy, but I think he can be maybe more consistent than D'Anthony Melton was, because he might still be able to at least get you one, maybe two threes, where when D'Anthony was off, he couldn't get you anything. All right, so I think there is some give and take there, but you're going to see them struggle early. I think that's just a reality. I think long term, for sure, they're better off. And I think they're better built for the playoffs and for better half-court offense. But you need it's not just the inconsistency of the rookies that's hurting this team right now. Your veterans are struggling. BC has struggled at times. Dez is struggling. We don't have Dylan. So there are a lot of other – I mean, Adams really doesn't look great. He hadn't had too many shining moments himself. So – there's a lot of moving pieces as to why they look the way they look in terms of at least being effectively shooting from the field. But my thinking is you'll see that develop, you know, by the end of the year. Hopefully that's improved.
Yeah, I think the potential for this team to be a better shooting team is there, but I don't think that's going to necessarily cash in right now. I think it's going to take the younger guys getting more experience, as Candace said, because those guys do have potential to shoot the basketball better than what you lost in the. I mean, there were times where D'Anthony Melton was shooting the basketball really well, but like you said, he's streaking. Kyle Anderson's not a guy that was adding shooting. So I think those, Roddy and Arabia and those guys have more potential to be shooters than those guys, but I think it's going to be down the line. And of course, you just got to get guys back. You know, Jaren, because it's going to add something for the perimeter. Hopefully he can get more efficient than he was last year. We've seen him shoot the basketball better than he shot last year, but again, man, it's just a lot of stuff that they're working through right now. I think this is going to be a completely different team when we get into February, March than what we're seeing right now. And we'll see how it goes, whether they get away from, kind of like you said, the offensive rebound, create more opportunities and become a better shooting team, and which way this kind of goes. But I just think they're going to need some time to kind of grow together, and we're not even there yet because you got some major pieces still out, so they can't really even do that right now.
Yeah, and just to add on that real quick, just to elaborate on what you were saying, I think a key thing is going to be everybody playing their actual roles, because right now they're being asked way more of them than they would normally be asked. I mean, I'm sure we didn't go into this offseason or the season thinking that David Wright was going to be guarding Luka, like, ever.
I hope that wasn't what they were thinking.
That wasn't what we were looking at. So everybody's kind of playing outside of their position, outside of their role, and so it looks clunky and disconnected. And so just getting a couple pieces, I think even just getting Dylan back will be huge, because maybe that'll allow Dez to play a little bit more freely. And I really think Aldama can add some juice to that second unit personally, just with his secondary playmaking. But anyway, it gives you more options.
Yeah, that, you know, the struggles of BC, to me, it's just role. It's role related. Yeah, you have seen him in situations. There have been multiple times in these first few games where on the offensive end, he's parked in the corner. And last year, he averaged 2 offensive rebounds a game. If you move him back into his ideal role and you give him those 2 offensive rebounds a game, which led to easy points because they were easy putbacks for him, then his numbers look significantly better. So it's all like, it's a trickle down effect of, you know, we knew going into the season, Jaren's going to be out. Well, then you get the Zaire knee soreness and you get the thigh soreness from Dylan. And now your wing depth is just, it's terrible. Like, the wing depth is just not there. And it's like, well, why are the wings affecting Brandon Clark? Well, because he's a better player than some of the other options. And so you're seeing super clunky lineups get put out there together. Because that's what Jenkins, like, Jenkins is going to play the best players. And so you see lineups that are not necessarily effective because of that. I want to look back. I know this is a different team, but if we look back at the first 20 games of last season, the Grizzlies came out, they won their first 2, they lost their 3rd one. They kind of bounced back and forth. We get to game 20, they're 10-10, they're a 500 team. And then something clicked for them. Something, don't know exactly what happened, but the defense just
like, turned up.
Yeah, it got significantly better. It's like they win the game to get to 10-10 against the Kings, and then they wake up in Toronto and something clicked for them, and then they took off and they ended up tying the season single season win record for the franchise. Is that, do you feel like that might be what we're seeing because of the injuries and the new guys and getting chemistry on the floor? Like, there's no doubt there's chemistry on this team. These guys hang out, they work out together. You can tell that they get along, but chemistry as far as like relationships is not the same as chemistry and timing on the floor. So you think we're going to see something like that again? You think it's going to take a 15 or 20 game stretch here for them to really get their legs under them and figure stuff out again?
I mean, I think we could see that, but I think it might take more than 20 games, just because having these guys out, I mean, you weren't expecting to have Dylan and kind of Zaire out going in. So even when they come back and whenever Jaren comes back, they're going to need time where all these guys are playing together. Because you hit the nail on the head, and you talk about a triple trickle-down effect. Guys are playing different roles now. I mean, you need Tyus to come in. Tyus is having to try to carry more of an offensive load now, because they just don't know what you're going to get out the bench scoring-wise. You got BC, like you said, playing in these bad lineups because Jenkins wants him on the floor. In order for him to get on the floor and kind of make sense with kind of the crazy rotations and stuff they got going on now, he ends up on the floor with Steven Adams and Xavier Tillman, which Xavier Tillman to BC is better than Adams, but it's still not good. This team is really struggle anytime they have 2 non-shooters on the floor, and you've seen that a lot this year, way too much. And I'll be glad when we don't have to see that anymore. But I just think the chemistry, like you said, man, all these guys, you see it before the game, man, they're dancing around, hopping, even the rookies. I was glad to see that, man, Laravia and all those guys in there getting in there dancing with the guys, and that's fantastic. I mean, a lot of teams don't have that, but as you said, on the court chemistry takes time to develop, and I think. With the close-knit of this team and the way this culture is of this team, they're going to get there. I just think it's going to take time on the floor together. And right now you're missing three guys, and you got to get all three of those guys back and get them worked in. You got to get the rookies acclimated with playing with those guys, even though they might – one of those guys is not going to get as many minutes once everybody gets back and Zaire gets back. You're not going to get as much of LaRavia and Robbie. One of those guys will get some minutes. One of them might be completely out of rotations. I'm interested to see how that plays out. But it might. I think we'll get there. I just think it might take more than 20 games. That last year, those guys were kind of the same guys. They didn't have a lot of any new pieces or really anything they were working in. Man, it was just – I think they was just knocking off rust and trying to get together. But I think it might take a little bit longer than that, maybe 30 games this year just because of some of the things that's going on now. But I believe in the culture, this coaching staff, and in the way this team, the camaraderie that this team has. So I think they'll get there. I just think it might take a little bit longer this year.
Yeah. For the record, and Candace, I'll let you go right after this. The BC and X lineups are not better than Adams and Clark statistically. They're both terrible.
Even last year?
I didn't pull up last year, but this year it's not even close.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. Yeah. I know both of them are bad.
Yeah, I'll pull up last year's real quick and see, but yeah, this year it's brutal both ways.
I hate it. There's really not a lot of way around it right now, though, but it's rough, man. Every time I see it, I'm like, man, my eyes are bleeding. Like, why is BC parked in the corner? No, you're just taking away his game. I mean, it's just taking away what he does best. You need him 10 feet away from the basket in there to get those offensive rebounds, get that floater. There's no reason for him to be parked out in the corner. It's just, he's going to be ineffective like that. It's just tough to see, man. I hate those lineups, but again, man, it's kind of out of necessity now, man, just because of what they have going on, what they're working with. And he wants him on the floor for a certain amount of minutes. And I think it's just hard to get him on the floor for the amount of minutes you want to play him without at times being in some of those weird lineups.
Yeah, and they're just not working. But, yeah, I pull up last year's as well. The BC Adams lineups were better than the BCX lineups last year by just a slim margin. And this year,
they're both terrible, though.
Yeah, they neither one of them were great either way. But, it feels better. Like, watching it feels better with
BC. Yeah, it does feel better with X, but
statistically, it's not.
I think it's because Adams provides more – value to your offense than the next can, probably. I mean, just with his screens and rebounding.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Yeah. So I am more on the optimistic side that – so I think it might come and go in ways. So I think around the 20-game mark, you might see a little bit more continuity, much improved continuity. I think they're not going to be all the way there. I think they can be a lot closer because I think Dylan's coming back, you know, next couple games. I mean, he's questionable again for the Monday night game. And a lot of people thought he was going to play, you know, a Saturday night game. So he's got to be coming back anytime now. Now, if they went there's a longer period of time, if it was 2-3 weeks where Dylan wasn't going to be coming back, then that's different. I don't think they played enough for everybody because nobody's comfortable in their role right now. So I don't think it'll be a weird thing about everybody having to readjust to their new roles because nobody's comfortable in where they are now. So Dylan coming back, I think, will actually add to the chemistry, and he's another guy that has worked with those guys. Same thing with Zaire coming back when he does come back. I think that'll just help but just by nature of how much they're being asked over. You know, normally when people are out, they're being asked to do more. But I think it's just an abnormal amount that they're being asked to do more. So I think that shuffles itself out. But I will say this. By the time that they maybe sort of find their flow is around the time that Jeremy's going to come back. So then I think you might make some adjustments for there. I think it may come and go in ways. I think you will see a period of chemistry looking like it's starting to build. It might get thrown off a little bit when Jeremy comes back because he's going to have to try to that's going to be a whole thing. Something's going to be in a new role. You're going to see him. How does he respond to that? And so those will be some questions for that time. But I'm more optimistic that you will see improvement in terms of chemistry. It won't be optimal. I mean, but really you don't want it to be optimal this time of year. You want to be missing. You want to be playing your best ball, you know, as the season gets close to the playoffs. So I think ultimately they'll be fine and you will see some improvement soon, I believe.
Yeah, well, Jared's return is kind of why I said I think it might take a little bit longer because when Jared comes back, that's really going to be an adjustment. Even when you get Dylan and Zaire back, and people are kind of getting comfortable in their roles with those guys. Like you said, when Jaren comes back, Jaren has such an impact on what they do that there's definitely going to be adjustments here, not only for himself and him working out, because he's missed the entire offseason trying to work him back in. It also, with him trying to work himself back in, kind of changes the role. Santi's going to now be in a reserve role, which I think is going to be fantastic for the team.
Are we 100% on that? Like, are you 100% sold that that's going to be the case? You don't think that there's a chance with the way that Aldama's playing that that you see Jaren starting at the five and Adams coming off of a bench role?
I mean, I think that's possible. I think Jaren and Santi do some of the same things as far as shooting from the perimeter and everything like that. I still think you want Steven Adams in there, even though Sonny has surprised me with his rebounding. I would say you definitely want Steven Adams in there for those rebounds, but Sonny has been rebounding the ball. He's actually matching and even beating Steven Adams on the boards at night. That's an interesting thought. I hadn't even thought about that concept. I think they'll stick with Adams, but I think it's a lot more of a question than I think anybody would have thought going into this season. I don't think anybody thought, oh, well, when Jaren comes back, suddenly there's a chance that Jaren starts at the five, Santi starts at four, and Steven Adams comes off the bench. I think people would have thought you were crazy prior to game one by saying that. But as these games go on, that's not as crazy as it sounds. I still wouldn't predict that they do it right now, but it's not the craziest thing.
I think they close with that lineup. Then they start with
Oh, 100%. I definitely think they close with that lineup, yeah.
You think Santi closes over BC even?
I think
BC works very, very well off of Jaren. Yeah. Like they are, that tandem is really good together.
Yeah. If Santi keep playing like he's playing now, man, I think it changes some things, because I mean I felt good about him coming out of Vegas and coming out of preseason, but I think he's even just blowing through even those expectations. So I'm not putting any limitations on him again, man. I wouldn't predict any crazy changes, but I do think, I agree with Kansas, I do think there are going to be times where you see that as a closing lineup, because I just think he brings so much to the table. And now that the fact that he's holding his own on defensive end, rebounding, you're talking about secondary playmaking, I mean, he can be really good for you on the floor. And I think you're not giving up a lot of defensively, because again, he's holding his own, you know, which Jaren brings to the defensive end. I think you'll see that at times, especially if DC continues to struggle. Now, some of his struggles are, like you said, is just due to him being out of position and playing in weird spots. But I mean, that's interesting, because I think they're going to want Sonny on the floor. I mean, he's a good basketball player, man, from what we see, man. He just does a lot of good things for you. And I don't think this is a fluke. I mean, we've seen him do these things in the starting lineup. We're not talking about preseason and summer league anymore, man. He's going up against Julius Randle, man, and hooping. So, I mean, he's going to be on the floor in important times, man. I think they found another gem. I mean, that's just a shout to Kleiman in this front office. People were starting to think that was a miss, and it doesn't look like it was one at all. I mean, it looks like he's going to end up being a really good, really important piece for this team as the time goes on.
I remember having a conversation. Sorry, Candace, I keep talking over the top of you. I'll let you go ahead.
Yeah, and I was just going to say I'm one of those people.
Hey, well, I think both of us are. I mean, it's just you, man. I think I came around a little bit quicker than you did, but I think most people were there. David was, I got to give him, man. He didn't give in, man. Everybody was on Sonny's end, man. He was like, man, pump the brakes, man. So I give him his flowers for that.
But I do think that I think the number one thing that's going to keep Adams in starting lineup is how his value to Ja. In terms of
setting
screens, no other big on this team knows how to set a valid screen. I don't understand why that's not like a coaching point. It's valuable to John Morant.
Those BC screens.
Yeah, BC slips them every time. He doesn't make any contact.
Man,
I wonder if we don't, because, you know, Santi's been putting on muscle. I wonder if we don't start seeing more of that from him. If the long-term goal would to be, like, if it was to be Aldama at the four and Jaren at the five, you've got to have somebody that can screen for Ja in the way that Adams does. And I know that they locked Adams up with his contract extension, but I also don't 100% believe that he's a long-term answer at the five. I know that they like his fit. They like what he's able to do for the screen and stuff with Ja, but I think that the 4-5 of the future is some combination of Brandy Clark, Jaren Jackson, and Santi Aldama.
Yeah, that contract is movable. I'm with you. I'm not sold that he'll be here for the length of that contract. I think they kind of set themselves up for with that contract is if they decide down the line that he's not the guy that they want long term, that they'll be able to move him. So I'm skeptical, like you said, because I think they want to kind of get away from that offensive rebound, extra possession type of team and become more of a faster, more athletic team, even though they got some bigger guys. I think the athleticism in that vein off the bench maybe changed, but I think they want to kind of change their style a little bit, and Adams might not be the guy best suited to play that style. I think Aldama might be more suited to play that style, BC, and what he brings. So that'll be something to watch down the line. I think they like Steven Adams a lot and what he's brought to this team. You talk about setting the screens, and he really helps job. But I think as time goes on, I think that they might mature into a position to where he's not that guy anymore. And I think that contract is very movable if they decide that that's what they want to do.
I sure hope so. Right now, I don't know if Santi's going to do that either, because I actually think it's a coaching thing more than it is the inability for them to set a screen. I mean, it's literally the difference of like just sitting there for an extra 2 seconds versus doing that slip screen. I don't think it's close enough for Aldama to do it yet, because I don't think they're coaching him up to do that. But I think he's capable. I think a lot of guys on this team are capable. But in the meantime, I think they're going to depend on Adams for that. But yeah, I'd sure love for them to see, you know, them really coach that up, you know, amongst these bigs. And because I think, you know, if you can do that, I do think it makes Steven Adams expendable, especially as well as Aldama's been rebounding, like Isaac mentioned.
Yeah, you know, we were talking, I remember having a conversation last year. We were talking about Kyle Anderson. And I don't remember if Candace, if it was you that mentioned it, or if it was Isaac, but I know like after the Grizzlies drafted him, before they drafted him, I didn't know a whole lot about him. So after the fact, I went back and I'm watching film, and I like, you know, you saw him at Loyola Maryland kind of initiating some offense. And you mentioned earlier in this show about how, you know, maybe you get more playmaking from him in the second unit. But, you know, I said that he could be a Kyle Anderson, like what Kyle Anderson brought to this team, but an improvement because he can shoot the ball. Yeah. And I thought that there would be a bigger gap defensively between the two, and I do still think that there's a gap. But Aldama's really surprised me. The block, he had a block on, Jalen Green.
Yeah,
Jalen Green. Man, and I like the timing. I just didn't see it. I thought, I'm like, he's going to foul him here. And then he ends up blocking the shot clean. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe he got that clean. So, you know, it shocked the crap out of me. So it's good to see the growth from him. That's huge for this team. Still, you know, I'm still optimistic for the team. I said 3-7, and a lot of people were giving me crap. But at the time that I said,
they were giving me crap. So you know yeah, they're giving you like, grab at 3-7.
And that's fine. But at the time when that guy
Western Conference Finals, but 3-7 it starts.
when the guy posted that, it was right after Adams took that shot to the back of his neck. And so we knew that Zaire was out, we knew that Jaren was out, and there was a possibility that Adams was gonna be out. And I'm like, man, if Adams is out, this team is hurting.
Yeah, you shocked me with that, though.
And so, you know, like, it's fine. I said, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll eat crow on it. It's good. I've been wrong plenty of times before, and I can guarantee I'm going to be wrong again. So it is what it is. Sometimes you make predictions and you miss, and I'm okay being wrong on this one for sure.
Yeah, man. Well, I said 6-4, and they were giving me crap as well for even 6-4. But, I mean, I think you just look at some of the things that was going on. Man, I think being realistic, 6-4, I think, wasn't bad at all. Because, I mean, you just work and do some stuff. I mean, you got Jaren out, and you found out at that point, we were kind of thinking Steven Adams might miss time. You found out Dylan Brooks and Zaire Williams this time. Like, you knew Zaire was out, and I was telling people, well, Zaire could possibly miss time as well. And they were like, no, man, 9-1, 10-0, 8-2. That was just all the prediction. I was like, man, pump the brakes on that, man. It's a lot. I know this team has some of their major parts back, but they're working through stuff, and they're missing their defensive anchor. I mean, it's the beginning of the season. Sometimes there's rust there. Anyway, I just felt like there were going to be some times where they struggled, and they got the first two, man, but really struggled in this one, man. Hopefully they can get back on the right track Monday night. Hopefully Dylan Brooks can go. I was shocked that he didn't play last night. I thought for sure he'd be back. They still got him listed questionable for Monday, man, but they need him back. I mean, they really need him back on the defensive end and even his shot creation. They need another guy out there, and I think that takes some pressure off of Desmond Bain. And with Bain, man, I'm not panicking or anything, but I'm a little bit concerned. I talked last time we were on here about the back issues, and I think that's what's going on. Like, I really do think he's experiencing some back discomfort, and that's kind of limiting him. I mean, he's still productive, but he's not the Desmond Bain, especially with these guys out, what they need him to be. I mean, he needs to be that Batman to Robin to Jaws Batman, and he just hasn't consistently in these three games be able to do that, because I just don't think he's right. He's trying. He's out there playing. I think he's healthy enough to play, but I don't think he's 100% to kind of be the Desmond Bain that we thought, because I thought this would be – and it's still – we're talking three games, but coming into the season, I felt like he's probably I predicted him to be an all-star this year, and that's still very possible, man, but he's got to turn it around. But I just don't think he's himself right now, trying to play through it, man. So hopefully it's not anything chronic like I'm starting to think it is, but they're going to need him, man, and he just hasn't here early been able to be that with any consistency.
I don't know what it is, but I'm concerned because I don't know what it is. I think I'd feel better, but they're not putting him on an injury report or anything. So, I mean, maybe it's some secret injury that they're just keeping super under wraps. I don't know, but the Grizz seem to be super conservative about that thing, you know? So I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm not going to rule it out, but I'm not panicked. And I do think with time that he'll come around. The question is, how long does it take? Because the team will have a lot of time for him to take his sweet time to get back around to Desmond Bain. We know.
No.
You know, I mean, it could just as easily be conditioning. You know, they were saying the Knicks game, they were saying it was cramps. You saw him working on his lower back, and it could just be conditioning. If we've talked about this a little bit, but – you know, if you're exhausted and you try to push yourself through it, your body cramps up. You get those cramps. And so it may just be something where he doesn't have his legs yet, and that's why he's looking like this. But we'll see. We definitely want to see him bounce back, because the way he's playing right now, this team will not get to the 50 wins that I projected if he's playing like this all season.
It's weird because he even struggled in the preseason, but in the preseason it didn't look like – he was limited physically at all. Because, I mean, he was getting downhill, getting to the basket. He was struggling with his shot, but it didn't look like there was anything physically wrong with him. So it's strange, man. I mean, he's such a good shooter. He's such a good shooter to see him shooting the basketball like this. Like, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know. Like, I think he's going to get back, because we just know how good of a shooter and good of a player he is. But it's just a weird situation that you just don't know what it is. I personally do think that he's dealing with some back stuff. I think that when you're overcompensating, that causes cramps and other things, causes you to have other type of things going on. I personally think that's what it is, but I don't know. Like, it's just hard to tell, because, again, he didn't – until that situation with the cramps, he didn't seem to be moving any differently. Like I said, he seemed to be even faster in the preseason. I commented on that during the preseason about how quickly he's taking it in and get to the basket. So, I don't know, man. It's just kind of weird, but still just three games in, man. But again, as time goes on, if there's any improvement, that's a big concern going forward.
Yeah, I made a joke. I said, I think he got too strong in the offseason. He got so strong. He's yeah. It's funny. I know I'm halfway joking, but also, like, he's much more likely to make it if he's super deep. But, like, if he's close, it like bricks. But he, like, the few he's made, he's been, like, super deep. And I don't know. My theory is – It's pending. We'll see. But if he can just get those layups, man, if he could contribute offensively, if he could just get that layup shot right, yeah. He's missing those, man. I'm like, how you missing those?
He's still working, though. That's what, you know, even through the struggles, there was one game that he wasn't really flirting with a triple-double, but I think he had like 14 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists or something like that. Like, he's still – playing at a decent level. I think that we have just set the bar so high for him because of what we've seen that, you know, it's tough to watch him play the way that he is.
I think it's part of the love of the bar, but I think it's more the situation of the team and how much more important he is now that we're not getting that. It's, I mean, I honestly think even Dylan was back, it wouldn't be as big. I mean, assuming that it was good Dylan, I don't think it would be as big of a deal because the team wouldn't be hit provided on him as the only other source of offense. But it puts a lot on him. That doesn't help. I'm sure he feels that. And maybe that's part of it too.
Yeah, it's definitely super glaring because of kind of what's going on right now with the injuries, the roster construction a little bit, I do think, because it's so much on him now because we know what Ja's going to do. Ja's going to bring it every night. I think we're at the point now where, I mean, not that Ja's not going to ever have a bad game, but I think 20 points, unless it's just things just go horribly, it's like a baseline for him now. I think you're going to get what you need to get from him for probably 99% of nights, but right now they just don't have anybody else, and Bane has to be that guy. Like, they need Bane at 20 right now, and it's just a lot more on him right now. So just a weird situation, weird for him. He's working through something, man. Let's pray and hope he gets through it.
Actually, I do want to talk about Ja a little bit more in the Mavericks game. So I was watching this game, and I was watching their defensive scheme and what they were doing against him. And there were so many times I felt like he went into the coverage, like he went in, and I know that he has the confidence. And I know a lot of times he is going to be able to twist, contort his body, and get that ball up and be able to make it through the defense like that. But I felt like he was pressing some in that Mavericks game, definitely. Man. I really like, there were times when they were collapsing three and four guys on him. And there were lanes, there were windows for him to kick it out to different people. And he either, you know, turned the ball over or, you know, put a shot up and missed it. And I know, like, I don't expect him to go in 1v4 and win it every time. Like, that's not realistic. These are other NBA players. There's going to be times when they get in position and they're able to make him change what he wants to do. But you hear him preach about, you know, I just take what the defense gives me. And in that Mavericks game, at least, I don't feel like he was really doing that.
I think there's two reasons for that. I think, number one, he knows how this team has struggled against Dallas, and the talk about his place in the league and Luka's place in the league. You could say a lot of people, oh, well, he's not worried about that. He thinks about that in the back of his mind. When he goes up against one of those guys, like you said, the top 10, he wants to play well. There's no doubt about that. I think also the team was struggling so bad that he just felt like, man, I gotta try to do something. Man, nobody's making shots. I gotta get in there. I gotta be Superman. I gotta get in there and save the team. And like you said, there were times he was driving into three guys, just turning the ball over, like trying to hunt fouls, looking for fouls, and he wasn't getting the calls. But I think that's kind of what you saw in the game because it was just so bad. I mean, offensively, they just couldn't get anything going, and I think he just got a mindset, well, I got to take this game over. And like you said, Dallas had such a good game plan against him. They weren't having it, and it just didn't work out. Still ended up with 20 points. Like I said, man, I think even when he plays horribly, I think he's at the point now where he's going to get you 18 to 20 points even when things just go terribly. I think that's kind of a baseline where he's at, but I think that's just kind of what you saw in that game. I think things were just so bad that he just decided, man, I'm just going to try to take this thing over. And didn't look good a lot of times. Like you said, man, how many turnovers did he end up with?
Three.
Yeah, three. Only had three? Okay, so not that bad. But, yeah, there were times definitely where he, especially early in that game, where he tried to force it into the basket and wasn't able to finish, and there were probably opportunities for him to kick it out. Not that those guys necessarily would have made those shots because it just seemed like nobody was making shots. But I think that's kind of my assessment of it.
And I would say I would argue he has a few of those moments in the Rockets game as well, but it looks different when a shot's going in. I mean,
it does.
Yeah, especially late in that fourth quarter, he definitely had some moments where he turned the ball over.
I just think it worked then. And the Dallas Mavericks have the length to counter that a little bit more than maybe most other teams would.
Yeah, you know, you're running, you know, I know Maxi Kleba was coming over to be the help defender quite a bit. Maxi Kleba, a guy 6'10". Yeah, Christian Wood was in there. Like, he had a monster game against the Grizzlies. He played well. You know, it's length. You know, Ja did not struggle against Minnesota, but they did make it hard for him because they run a lot of length at him. And that, you know, that seems to be the game plan, is just run a bunch of length at him and do the best you can to slow him down. Worked well for Dallas this time. I didn't look at the schedule to see what it would be, but I hope the next time that the Grizzlies play the Mavericks,
I think it's March.
Yeah,
yeah, like, I want it to not be something stupid where it's like, you know, their fourth night, our fourth game in 6 nights and back to back. Like, I want to see them play Dallas on equal rest, that, like, fully healthy, equal rest. That's what I want to see. I think that that's going to be a hell of a matchup. I think that this team, when healthy, is better than that Dallas squad. But the type of game that Dallas plays is tough for this team because it kind of counters what Memphis tries to do. So we'll see. It's a long way. The next game is Monday night at the Forum against the Nets. I'm worried about that one. I ain't even going to lie. If Dylan is back, that changes a little bit. But Jalen Green torched this team. Luka Doncic torched this team. And the Nets have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. They're both guys that can operate from the wing and tear you apart. Not to mention they have Ben Simmons. So, you know, this is going to be a tougher matchup. You know, you guys can laugh at Ben Simmons all you want, but he's a hell of a playmaker. He ain't going to shoot the ball that well, but Ben Simmons is a hell of a playmaker. So, and I would take Ben Simmons on this roster over the rookies any day of the week. So. Anyway.
Oh, well, I agree with you there. You know, I agree with you there. But I think I was going to say with the Nets, even though they have those guys, they haven't looked great in their first few games. Now, at any point, that could completely change. I mean, they got guys that can go off. Like you said, we really need Dylan back in this game. There's no question about that. I'm with you there. But kind of go off topic real quick. Those two Mavericks games, they have actually a home and home. And here at Memphis, Saturday, March 11th, back in Dallas, Monday the 13th. So you get two opportunities, home and home, back and back. So that'll be interesting to see kind of have the Grizzlies found out a way to play against that team. Going to get two games in a row. But for the Nets, man, yeah, man, it's going to be a tough one. That could be a scary one if you don't have Dylan back. Defense is going to be, I think, paramount in that game. And you just need Dylan to help guard some of those guys, man. They got size. You got KD, like you said, Ben Simmons. You know, Kyrie can go off any given night. So it's going to be an interesting game, man. But again, man, you don't want to snowball. You lost the game here and you don't want to kind of start a losing streak. If you can kind of continue to put games together, man, that's what you want to see here with these guys out. Because I think if you can navigate if you can go 6-4, kind of like I predicted a 7-3, as Candace said, I think that puts you in pretty good position to kind of start building on that when guys come back.
Yeah, yep. And, you know, you look at what has happened the first three games of the season for this team. Cam Reddish for the Knicks, big wing that can handle the ball, create his own shot, went off. He scored 22
points. One of the best games he's ever played in the league.
Jalen Green put up 30 on him. Luka Doncic, I still say that he could have scored 70 in this game. Like, he had 21 in the first quarter, and it's like he just started getting his teammates involved. If he wanted to keep scoring, I think that he could have. So wings that can handle the ball and create their own shot have been killing this team because they don't have their best wing defenders here. If Dylan is not healthy for this game, you have, you know, like Ben Simmons is not necessarily going to create his own shot. But if you don't have Dylan out there to guard one of these guys, it's going to be scary to see what this defense looks like against them.
Yeah, if Dylan plays, man, foul trouble, can't get in foul trouble. Paramount because they're going to need him out there, man. That's a kind of a tough game to kind of throw him back out there being out for his first game of the season. But I'd rather have him to his defense than no defense at all, man. So they definitely need him back in that game. And I'm still kind of surprised that he didn't play the other night, especially if you kind of listen to Taylor Jenkins' comments prior to the Rockets game. It sounded like he was going to be ready to go for Dallas. So I don't know what to think about that. I'm kind of surprised that he's still listed as questionable. I thought he'd for sure be a go in this one. So the fact that he's listed as questionable, I have a little bit of worry. If he plays Monday, that's good. But if he doesn't play Monday, I think that's a little strange if he ends up not playing Monday.
Yeah, it's not I've seen a lot of people actually had somebody at me specifically and ask me, you know, do you think that this is them like holding off because they're trying to trade him.
Somebody said the same thing to me about Zaire. I definitely don't think it is about Zaire. Not right now.
I don't think that's the case with Dylan right now either. Do I think that Dylan is off limits? Absolutely not. If he was off limits, I think that they already would have inked him to an extension. But it's a contract year that, like, he wants to be out there. He wants to play. And so I think this is probably – I don't think it's overly serious, but, you know, you see a thigh bruise and you don't think much of it. But, it's man, sometimes it can be rough. And I think this one's a little bit rougher than what it's been indicated so far.
And he's kind of had this before. Like, he's been – there was time, I think, last year where he had a thigh bruise where he set out several games. I think maybe in February, I want to say, after he came back and he got hurt again. It was a thigh bruise that he set out several games. So that's something that he's kind of dealt with before. So hopefully I do think it's a little bit worse than kind of what they said, because you think a thigh bruise, you think, oh, man, maybe a game or two. But the fact that he's now missed three, I think that kind of shows you that it might have been a little bit something he's dealing with a little bit more than I think we initially thought.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. Candace, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about that wing going off thing. I mean, we literally don't. The team does not have another wing right now, because Desmond Bain is playing a lot of minutes with that second unit. So, I mean, it's John Conchar and nobody else. So, I think it'll be all right.
I'm going to need you to stop throwing shade. You ain't got to say it, John Conchar. He's been playing well. You can say his name properly.
Yeah, but I give him I give him his flowers, man, because I was hating on him. Well, not necessarily hating on it, but questioning whether he could be a regular rotation player. And he do three games. It's only three games, but he's looked good in those three games. I'll give him that. I'm still questioning this. That's something that he's going to be able to do for 82 games, but we'll see.
Candace sounds like she's still mad at it, though. She's talking, and then the whole tone of your voice, and John Conchar.
I'm saying he was a backup too, and he's out of position. Is what I'm saying. Okay, so like I'm saying, they literally don't have a shooting. The only shooting guard that they have on his team right now is Desmond Bain. That they're playing as a shooting guard is Desmond Bain, and he's playing a lot of second. So that gives you you got no guards. John Conchar is playing at the three.
Man got his bag, Nike deal, man. He's out there living, man.
Yeah,
shout out
living
to
it up, doing good stuff. Guys, we appreciate you. Yep. We appreciate y'all tuning in. We will go ahead and wrap it up. You can get the show on Twitter at Ethos Grizzlies. I am at NBA D-Will 2-1. We will be back probably Tuesday for a post game. Actually, we will 100% be back Tuesday. We'll have a post game and we've got a special guest lined up. I'll let Isaac tell you about that. Candace, let them know where they can find you.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at CandaceH901. CandaceH901. Isaac, bring us home.
Yeah, man. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, man. We definitely appreciate that. Go over there, eat those Grizzlies, give us a like and a follow. We definitely appreciate that. And as David said, man, we'll be back Tuesday. Take a look back, hopefully, at a 3-1 Grizzlies team. Hopefully, they knock off the Nets at FedEx Forum on Monday night. But we do have a special guest coming up on Tuesday night, man. He's a radio play-by-play voice of the Grizzlies. It's Eric Castletime, man. He's going to jump on and join us. I always enjoy talking with him, man. I've interviewed him several times in the past, man. He's fantastic, man. So definitely look forward to that. Hopefully you looking forward to that as well, man. So make sure you tune in for that. And until Tuesday night, for David, for Ken, I've been Isaac Simpson, and we go.
And that will conclude our Sports Ethos presentation.